What's up, y'all? This is Brother Ali in the mix with Tim Einekell on The Library, rapstation.com. Keep it right here.
Yo. The twilight's last gleaming, the low-key, high-grade grass steaming, slick-talking fly nigga fast creaming, bullshit, you out here gas dreaming, yeah, Zeus on Mount Olympus. Illuminati wanna pimp us. Record labels wanna skimp us. But I'm a hustler, I'll never go limp. Plus snap like a limp.
My next guest is a Texas-based producer who has worked with artists such as David Banner, Large Pro, Brand Nubian, Planet Asia, and much more. His new album is currently out and it's called Raw. He's Ginzoon D, and I want to welcome him to The Library with Tim Einekell on rapstation.com. Thanks for joining me, man.
Peace, thank you for having me, I appreciate you.
Degradation. It's principles and codes where all you niggas feeling invincible get scold. The flow is reprehensible and bold and way too far.
I want to obviously start from the beginning, but like, I want to know your backstory. Where did you come from and who were your influences musically growing up? Then why and how did you get into producing?
I'm actually from nowhere. My father was in the army. So, although my roots are in Jackson, Mississippi, both of my parents are from there. My dad went from high school to Vietnam. So we just grew up, you know, all over the place. I was born in Fort Knox, Kentucky, ironically, where the gold is allegedly held. But, so I'm from kind of all over the place. My early music influences were all of the traditional, if I can use that term, traditional hip hop that was out, that I had access to in the mid to late 80s. So, all that, you know, early, you know, stuff out of New York, was all the pulse of my life. You know what I mean? It was the heartbeat of my life as a kid. And so, you know, all of that stuff, man, was inspiring and it was new and it was groundbreaking. And, man, I just wanted to be a part of it. And so I was early on, I was MCing and, you know, B-boying. And it wasn't until the late 90s that I actually stopped rhyming and dove deep into production.
You mentioned you traveled around a bunch. So was it hard for you to get your hands on that vinyl or that, you know, those CDs or whatever, or tapes? Or were they pretty easy to get?
Pretty easy to get. But you know, I came up in a time where I saw the birth of, well, not really the birth. I would say the transition. I saw the transition of media from vinyl and cassettes to CDs to, you know, what we have now, you know, MP3s. And so, although there was something lost in those transitions, I saw it unfold. Having to wait until in the store to get the vinyl, taking it home, looking at the album artwork, holding it, you know, something tangible while you play the music is an experience that's hard to find adjectives to describe. It's just something one must experience. Or even not having enough money for the vinyl and settling for the cassette. And then the whole jacket of the cassette, the insert folds out like a whole bunch of times. And you're looking at all of it and you're reading the credits, and it's just an amazing experience. And so to answer your question, no, it wasn't really difficult to gain access to that stuff. On the military bases that I lived in as a kid, they had, you know, stores and small shopping centers that were like a small mall and stuff like that. So I always had access to it. The difficult thing was the type of music. Is where the challenge was. Being on the military bases, I wasn't getting a lot of, you know, like the Lakim Shabazz and the 45 King production stuff and, you know, Main Source and, you know, It took time for a lot of that stuff to trickle down. But, you know, the good thing is a lot of my school friends were from New York, and so they would come back with the BLS tapes and stuff like that. So I would get hip to what was going on in New York and what was going on with the culture through them. So, yeah.
You mentioned something very interesting. You were talking about the vinyl and the artwork. And before we get into the new album Raw, when you look at your band, when you look at your discography, right? Mm-hmm. What really stands out to me is the cover artwork. And is that something that you yourself have a hand in? And also, why is the cover artwork important for you?
Yes, I do definitely have a hand in that. And the importance is, it's a part of the overall vision of the record. Again, I come from a time where, even as a kid, looking at the artwork of my parents' records and listening to the music in the background, it was an actual experience, just like listening to the music was an experience. I remember being in love, you know, of course, as a young, you know, horny, you know what I mean? A young, horny lad looking at the Ohio Player record covers with the beautiful black sister on there, half naked, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, with honey all over and stuff like that, because the album's called Honey, or the album Ecstasy, and she's, you know, very provocative, hugging a guy. And, you know, just even aside from the raging hormones at that age, but just how dope it was, the artwork. It's called Pain, and she's stabbing someone in the back, and like just that imagery and the title, and then the music was real raw and funky. Like, it just was dope, man. And then reading who's playing on it and what kind of instruments were they using to create these sounds, like that stuff was important. And so when I had the blessing and opportunity to start making records and releasing records internationally and nationally, I carried that tradition with me. I remember a guy asked me about the album I did with Planet Asia, Abrasions, which is one of my favorite pieces of work. And he asked me, what does the title mean? You know, what is behind the title and the artwork? And I told him, I said, I wanted the listener to listen to the album while staring at that artwork, and you tell me what it means. Mm-hmm. You know, because music affects people differently. You know, music is an individual journey. And so the artwork, man, is definitely part of, is just to me as important as making the music itself.
Is that, is the artwork created prior to the album being completed, or is the final completion or the final part of the puzzle for you, is that the artwork?
It depends. It varies, because one main variable that I try to keep in place, whether it's making the music, whether it's working with the artist, creating artwork, is like, it has to be organic. It cannot be forced. It can't be forced. And so there were times where I've come across images and it spoke to me, and I said, you know, there it is, which is what happened, like with Abrasions. A super dope artist out of Atlanta, a guy named Craig, I came across some of his work. And when I saw that image, I said, that's it. Mm-hmm. Similar thing happened with the album I did with Denmark Vesey that dropped in July, with the eggplant. That a guy took an eggplant and carved a skull out of the eggplant, and then took a picture of it. And so that was an instance where I saw that artwork, and this is some old, you know, some old white guy in Switzerland or something somewhere, like 60-year-old guy carved it out, and it just spoke to everything that Denmark and I were saying with the record. So to answer your question, yeah, sometimes it's something that's already there, and then sometimes it's something that's created from scratch, like on Raw, the album Raw.
Let's turn to the album Raw. I mean, so one of the tracks, Principles and Codes, features Diamond D's.
Haters all want to chime in. All these bad bitches want time in. I tell a small few, sit back and climb in. It's all carte blanche from the space that I'm in.
I went from playing what was it, coaching. I mean, what was it about this beat that kind of made you know that Diamond D would be perfect for a track like this?
You know, you have to study the artist. You know, I do the research before I even reach out to the artist. And Diamond, you know, peace to Diamond D, by the way. He's, you know, not only is he one of my greatest influences, but just super dope MC, producer, and person. That's my man, 50 Grand. But the great Diamond has this style where he's able to bounce in and out of tracks effortlessly. And it's like, it's a real slick, but kind of talk to you kind of style. And so I didn't want anything too busy to get in the way of Diamond telling you what time it is. And so I took tempo into consideration. And I wanted something really hard because, you know, every record on Raw had to fit in line with the concept of being raw. You know, there's many layers to the title. And so I took those things into consideration when cooking for Diamond. Tempo, texture, you know what I mean? And make sure that it wasn't too busy.
When you listen to the track Dreams featuring Dinus, he spits stuck with lame lyrics.
You're stuck with them lame lyrics? What the fuck y'all mean? You better hit my man, Yasudin.
And I heard that and I was like, I imagine what he's saying is that if your lyrical game is whack, get Ginsu's beats and he'll make you step it up lyrically. As a producer, what does that compliment mean for you?
It means a lot, man, because for Dinas, and peace to Dinas, he's another incredible vocalist and, you know, just and good guy. My brother Sadat X from Brand Nubian made a similar comment that when you get a beat from Dean, you can't be lazy. You can't just, you know, scribble something real quick in the studio and then get in the booth and think that it's gonna shine. Like, you got to really put some thought into it. And those kind of compliments, man, they're humbling, and at the same time, they're motivating, they're inspiring, because it lets you know that the other side of the pancake, which is the vocalist, really is challenged and moved by what you do, and they want to take their time and get it right. You know, my man Rock Mars told me one day, he was like, yo, I got to make sure this is right. I don't want to just rush. You know what I mean? Because as a producer, when you're working with people that you're inspired by and that you admire, sometimes you can become overzealous and anxious. You know, you really want to hear what they do with it, you know. And the joint with Rock was the last record that I did for Raw. So I had all these anxieties. Rock and I haven't really cooked together in a while. And this was the last record, and the album has really taken shape. And I'm just super excited. And I'm texting him like, yo, peace, what we looking like? Any updates? And he was like, yo, man, it's got to be right. And so that his response tied directly into what Dinas said in a rhyme, which in turn tied directly into what Sadat said to me one day. And so, to answer your question, just it is a huge compliment and motivating factor.
And I mean, does that put some pressure, I guess, for you to, in terms of when you create something? Does that just reassure that, like, all right, I'm doing something right, I could just continue to do what I do?
It's more of the latter of what you said. It's more because when I create, I try to create without parameters. I don't sit down and go, hey, I'm gonna do a beat for the great Chuck D, or I'm gonna do a beat for, You know, I'm gonna do a little R&B joint for Anderson .Paak, or I don't try to create with parameters. I just sit down, and whatever energy I'm dealing with at the time governs where I go musically, and it governs where my sound source. You know, I may pull out some jazz records, or I may pull out some deep soul, or I may pull out some, you know, whatever. So creating without those parameters, it prevents me making one type of music. Now, once I'm done and I listen to it a couple of days later, then I go, oh, you know what? Odyssey would sound amazing over this, or Kool G Rap would kill this, you know, or, you know, Homeboy Sandman would destroy this. That's when I start hearing certain artists over the beat. But when I create, no, sir.
Do you, I want to get back to the album, but when you do create a beat, do you have kind of a mission or a goal with each track, you know, record that's created? And if you do, how do you ensure that the artist you're selecting follows through with that mission lyrically?
Yes. The most consistent mission is to make something from my spirit that I myself like. If it moves me, that's step one, because that's probably what's going to ensure that it gets saved. Otherwise, it may get deleted. But if it moves me, it's probably going to get saved. When I'm working on a project, whether it's a remix for someone or something for my, you know, for my project or someone else's, I'll go into these batches of beats. I'll study the artists, go into these batches of beats, and pull out two or three that I think would fit their project or my project. And the hope is that they will see what you saw when you made the beat.
Oh, nice.
And so then they'll attack it accordingly. And then the ultimate, after both sides of the pancake have been cooked, the goal is for the listener and the consumer to see what you saw and to feel what you felt when you created the song. Mm. That's number one to me. If they, of course, as an independent, you know, professional independent producer, of course, you want financially to be compensated, and, you know, there's that aspect of it. But the ultimate goal is for me, is for the listener to hear and feel what I felt when I was in my lab making that beat. Mm.
A track I really like, and I'm not saying biased because I went to high school with him, but Opponents featuring J Live.
Oh, incredible record.
I love the sample. I mean, I love the whole thing, but I really love the sample and I was curious, and if you don't have to divulge your secrets at all, what sample is being used there? And then also, how did you know that this sample would kind of work perfectly with J Live's flow and not be, I guess, too overpowering and distracting?
Yeah. I will say this. It's a Caribbean type sample. Mm. And ironically, that song is the third record done for Raw.
Oh, wow.
The first record was Dynas. Dynas record was the measuring stick for everything that preceded it. And then I think Red Pill, and then J Live was third. And there's a significance, without being philosophical, a huge significance behind the number three. So his song being third was very important. And because it deals with understanding. But again, I approached it the same way, man. Like, you know, I studied J Live. I'm a fan of his. I have a lot of his records. And I knew that he had great diction on the mic. He had great diction and great mic presence. So, but I didn't want to give him anything too busy. I wanted the track to move. I wanted there to be some movement, but I didn't want it to be too busy, because it was important that people heard what he was saying. And I was actually in his studio playing him beats. And I said, hey, I want you to really check this one out. And I played it for him and was like, he was like, oh man, that's crazy. I said, that's the one. You know, I told him that's the one. Wow. And so it just, again, organic. It was very organic.
There are two female artists on the album, and the first one is featured on Walking Floral.
Yes.
Being that there's only two female artists, are there any importance to having her on the album, but also the track placement? It seems to be like directly in the midway point.
Yes, yes. You're awesome, bro. Let me just tell you that, because you pay attention to that stuff. And you know, I'm weird, and a lot of producers, we're all weird. And I know I'm digressing, but we're all weird, okay? But we do little things in hopes that people like you would get it. And that was intentional.
Oh, nice.
That was definitely intentional. And this is why when your listeners and whoever hears this, when you guys, if you get a chance to listen to Raw, the tone of the whole record matches the title of the record.
Right.
Okay. But life is not like that. Okay. And again, I don't mean to sound philosophical, but life is not like that. You have to deal in balance or you are destroyed. Okay. If there's no balance, then you go bye-bye. And so I put Georgia in the center as a transition, as a reminder that just like the water, you look at the image of the artwork and you see water, but then you hear, but the title is Raw.
Right.
But like the great Bruce Lee said, water can flow or it can crash. See what I'm saying? There's the balance. And so Georgia, although the beat is still kind of raw, her angelic, beautiful voice on top of it is the song itself in totality is giving you the balance. Mm. And so, and then I'm a big fan of hers. You know, I cannot get away from that. As a producer, and I seem like I'm digressing, but as a producer, I feel it's important to still be a fan of the genre that I'm in.
Right, right.
I don't want to just be a bloodsucker where all you do is put out music and expect people to buy it. Like, nah, man, I still go out and buy not just old jazz and breakbeats stuff. I still buy current releases. You know, I still go out and buy these records. Because I'm still a fan of the genre of music that I'm in. And so as a fan, man, I had to work with Georgia. She's super cool, super incredibly talented. And she gave me, you know, two of her best. She not only sung, she rhymed on it too.
Right,
so
yeah.
I was super excited. Yeah.
That rhyme was definitely a nice surprise. And it's actually, before I heard the rhyme, the question was going to be, there's, you know, two women on the track, and the first one just sings. And then I heard the rhyme, I was like, well, okay, there's the, I also saw it as a way of, I mean, then I looked at placement, I was like, well, this is kind of, I feel like this is a way that you're reminding us to kind of reset ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And being like, because like you said, the track, you know, the album's called Raw, and you hear, you know, I think like six tracks of guys, right? Spitting lyrics and over incredible beats. And then Floral Walking kind of gave us this, all right, reset yourself, have a moment, and then go back into the rest of the album. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. 7:30 features Tri-State and Conway. The beat is, I'm not saying Sybil is like a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
The beat, it just comes, you know, it's great. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot's going on, but I'm sure there's a lot going on that I just don't understand. So how do you, like, these, you have two MCs on this track with this kind of beat. I guess kind of the same question. How do you know? How do you know that this kind of beat's going to work for these two MCs?
It's through study, brother. It's through study. You know, the great Conway the Machine and the mighty Tri-State They're two incredible vocalists. And when I studied what Conway and, you know, big up to Conway and his whole crew, you know, West Side Gunn and Derringer, the whole, you know, Griselda, their whole team. When I studied what they were doing, he has a very, you know, streetwise, hard type of chamber that he's in. Mm-hmm. And Tri-State, who I've worked with before, he's part of a gold chain with, you know, the great Planet Asia, one of my favorite MCs of all time. He also can go into that gritty, grimy, streetwise chamber. And I actually gave the record to Tri-State first. And eventually we, you know, got Conway on it, and it was just a perfect blend. You know, it's almost like when you're making cereal or oatmeal and you just have the right amount of sugar in it, man. It's just like, man, this, like, breakfast this morning was awesome. It's just the right amount of syrup on that French toast. And that's how that record, you know, came together. I had to have something right tempo, something that was real hard, real wintry type of feel. You know, it's raining, you know, Hughes Brother video type feel, you know. And so I was blessed that it came together. It's really dope. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, you read about you, you talk to people about you, and you know, seeing the interviews or whatever comes up, is you're referred to as hip hop's best kept secret. And then I've spoken to hip hop heads, and they're like, they love your work, and then they go, but it seems like he came out of nowhere. how did a guy who, quote unquote, came out of nowhere, how have you worked with such talents as David Banner, Large Professor, you know, Rock Marciano, Planet Asian, Diamond D, and much more? How did that happen?
I ask myself that all the time. You know, it's a good friend of mine was running down the history to me, and it was just amazing listening to him talk to me about what I've done. And because, man, honestly, sometimes I'm far removed, bro. Mm. Like, I still just see myself as Dean. You know, I want to go digging for records. I want to, you know what I mean? I want to, you know, cool out with my family and, you know, make beats and study. And so a lot of times, man, I'm, because it's not who I am to get caught up into the hype. But right. to answer your question, my guy was telling me, he said, Dean, do you realize you did an album with Kanye West?
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, man, you did almost half of an album and Kanye did the other half. And I was like, wow, that's, come to think about it, you're right. And I did an interview recently, and the guy had did his research, and even he had just, you know, uncovered that. And I was like, wow, you know, I just never really looked at it. But I've always tried to keep myself balanced, tried to be honest with myself and with the music that I make, and be consistent, you know, with the times, how fast the industry changes, how fickle the consumer and the marketplace is. It's really easy, man, to get off the path. You know, it's really easy to start, you know, joining in with what everyone else is doing. And I just stay consistent and try to stay firm and steadfast in what I do, what I love, what I saw my heroes do, the Large Professors, the Showbiz, you know what I mean, the 45 King, the Paul Seeds, peace be upon them. You know, the Pete Rocks, the you know, the DJ Spinners. I just try to be honest with the music that I love and make those records. And through time, you know, the blessings have unfolded. You know, Banner was a good friend of mine. I met Banner, you know, we were still doing demos together. And he got blessed with the career that he had, and that's my brother and one of my best friends. And so, although musically there was a time we went in different directions, we were still still comrades and brothers. So everything was organic, even the stuff with Large, you know, and which probably was birthed out of an organic relationship with when I was with, you know, doing production for Lord Jamar on the 5% album. And so, yeah, man, I hope that answered your question, man. But, you know, these things, man, these gifts, man, that's what they are. These gifts and opportunities. You know, I've just remained humble and appreciative of being able to work with incredible artists in this genre of hip hop.
The new album is Raw. It features Diamond D, Homeboy Sandman, J Live, Red Pill, and much more. Ginsu Dean, thank you so much for joining me on the Library with Tim Einekell on rapstation.com.
Man, thank you, Tim. I appreciate you.
Was there anything else you wanted to get that we didn't touch on? Or
No, but I do want to say to the listeners to support what you're doing. And I say this to DJs and stuff like that that I interview with, and because it's very, very, very important. You guys provide the same thing that we do musically, you do it in another form. And so just as you all support us by playing the records, it's equally or maybe even greater of importance that we and the listeners support what you guys do. So I personally want to honor and salute you and thank you for what you do.
No, thank you. No, thank you, man. Thank you so much for taking your time to do this and for creating such a great album.
No problem. Thank you.
Take a second to Google myself, sip you who myself. You was lying about me crying for help. Under president and client gave Orion a belt. So much heaven, I'd be tired as hell. I rose about the black going covered in kelp. No mistakes, not a space. Took a break, scoop some buns in a bar. I'm in the mood to introduce moon and sun and stars. I get discounts, ain't no withstanding. What a dish out, slice a pie in the sky. I ride or die, dead smile. Holy cow, tits from a clown. I'm out of my account. Hot diggity dog, mozzarella, sour crown pound. 7-15 years, I eat a whopper. On my own, a short snake, get to the chopper. I'll be keeping busy signing knockers with a marker while I separate the prophecy apart from PB Cocker. Yeah, better give me profits. Shut in the zipper, kept a pocket of a knocker. Boy, saying word to mama and your papa. Out in Paris, transfer a jacket for a jacket. Once again, yo, it's the incredible. Later, when you settle midway ahead of schedule. No, no, be magic, cause I ain't mad at both. Yo,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Gotta wonder why most people next to me are undercover spies. You can make the argument and live a double life, cause I do shit on the double shit. I got somebody on the other line. Cats are better go and fly, kite get with this instead of that. Edge of engine number 9. Ain't a motherfucker that's as wonderful as I'm. Sometimes I be Jekyll, but I'm wonderful as Hyde. Might be a believer, but I don't believe the hype. Catch me in a foreign country, about to cut you in the line. Writers better never let me catch you in the light. Writers better never let me catch you in a lie. Tension be so thick that you can cut it with a knife. Boy, do angels know the difference between finagle and connive. I'm dumb certain, I run circles, I'm not circumcised. Back and forth to the casting, slurping up that wing gruff. Just ask a homie, what's the asking price? You already gotta come off the asking cost. Not what you can cover with the shoestring sword. Sipping on some scissors for the whooping cough. If I ain't doing what I be doing in between snacks, then I'm doing what I be doing in between naps. Hey, Jimmy, me, berries and AC. I go through phases, but nothing can phase me. Refresh, new man, new myth every minute. It's my world, you're just living in it. Here's a bathroom pass, I'm free to cut class. Catch you later, I'll be laying on a fresh cut grass. Give me one pig pen and a pen to chuck trash. Then forgive me, falling from a mini sense such as.
Where is-